The conference is being recorded. You may begin.
Thank you so much, operator. Thank you very much, Glenn. Thanks, Julie. Thanks, Carlos, Roy, for being in the call.
Olga, this is Julie. Should we go and do a formal roll call for the recording?
Yes, please. I cannot hear you very well, but I was going to say that. Go ahead, please.
Certainly I will, Olga. Good morning, good afternoon, everyone. This is the OTF call on the 5th of August. And on the call, we have Carlos Shapira, Roy Dykes, Olga Cavelli, and on the Adobe Connect room, I see Debbie Hughes has joined us, but not yet on the phone line. And for staff, we have Julie Headland and myself, Glenn de Saint-Géry. Have I left off anybody else? And I have no apologies noted. So thank you, Olga. It's over to you.
Thank you very much, Glenn, and thank you all for being this morning with us, morning, evening, afternoon. First, I want to thank very much Julie, because she did a great job in doing this document that we have sent to you during the last, I think it was 10 days ago. She has been putting all the pieces of text together in the right place to prepare this draft charter that you received. At the same time, we have been revising that document, Julie and I together, and we came we had some questions and some doubts that we have shared with you in the email that Julie sent to you on the 28th of July, 8 days ago. So I would suggest for our call today, first ask you if you have a kind of general comment about the document that Julie prepared, and then we could perhaps not read it all because it's quite long to be read in the phone, but perhaps go section by section and see if you can add some new section or change the order. And then while we revised it with Julie, we had these questions that we shared with you about how to build the steering committee, how to build a big OTF committee, dates, and some other details of the document. So if you think this is a good idea to go ahead, I'll proceed, or if you have any comments, let me know. Okay, here, none. Any general comments about the document? Did you have a chance to read it? Did you see it? Any comments?
Hi, Olga. This is Debbie. How are you?
Debbie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I think it's a great document, and I'm glad that we're able to use a lot of what we had worked on before, Olga. And I think, Julian, you made some good comments about the areas to focus on for cleanup. I'm sorry I didn't have a chance to send anything around before this call, but I'm happy to do that after this call, after, you know, we talk about some things. But just generally, I think it's great.
Thank you very much, Debbie. Carlos, Roy?
Yeah, thank you. I agree with that it's a great document, but in my case, I feel that I need more time to analyze deeply the document. I don't know the other participant, but in my case, it's that. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. Roy?
I got a chance to scan it, not read it very deeply as I really would have wanted, but did scan it. I think it's a good document. I like how the timeline is laid out and how it's laid out relatively up front. The one question I have about this team here on the call, do we have enough horsepower to carry out these actions?
I'm not sure I got your question. If we have power for what?
Do we have enough people in our group here to carry out the actions? Or do we need even more people within our group?
I get your point. Perhaps Julie can correct me. I think that we have the task to do is to draft the charter. That's our main task in this stage. Julie, am I correct?
Yes. Excuse me. Yes. Can you hear me okay? Because I am calling in on Skype, so I
can hear you, but it's not so clear as usual. But it's your
okay.
voice is kind of with noise.
Okay. I'll try to speak then clearly. This group is just the charter drafting team, Royce. So this little group is just tasked with drafting a charter. Then there will be a process, and it's actually laid out in the charter, to appoint the chair and a vice chair of the outreach task force. There'll be a steering committee with representatives from the constituencies and stakeholder groups, and then also there will be a larger group, and we've had some suggestions, and also Olga and I have some questions for you as far as who would be the representatives in that larger group of advisors. So this group is just drafting the charter, and then you're absolutely right. There will be, as is noted in the charter, the outreach task force itself, which will be a larger group to carry out the mission and purpose and so on of the outreach task force.
Okay, so that's where the resources will come from to do the work.
Exactly. So basically now we have to draft this charter and then propose it to the GNSO. So I agree with you that we are quite a few, but good people, and that Julie and I, we especially, Julie, of course, and Debbie and I were part of the working team that prepared the original document, and especially Debbie was the chair of that sub-working team. So we have also been involved in the development of the text of the document and in the actions of the working team. So I guess that we could focus on preparing this document for the charter, and then we follow the procedure, which is going forward with other actions. So I think that we are okay in preparing this draft charter that, of course, will be revised by the GNSO. So one outcome of the conversation is that we need more time. One other comment is that I would like to do is to share with you some ideas on some questions that came to our mind between Julie and I when she prepared it and I reviewed it and we exchanged some comments and email. One thing, it's detailed in the email that Julie sent to you 1 week ago. It is not stated in the draft charter. I'm not sure if we have to set it up in the draft charter or not. Just I leave you the question for you. How will the members of the steering committee and the OTF be selected? Remember that the proposal of the working team about this outreach task force was to build an outreach task force that has a smaller steering committee, which should be quite small and dynamic, and then a bigger group of people from the different parts of the world that work in the task force itself. So do we have to include this in the charter? We can think about it. The charter says that there could be representatives from constituencies and stakeholder groups, and the membership should be broad and diverse with representatives from each continent. Should we go further and include some other details, how to select them, how many? What Julie did is highlight in yellow all those parts that are related with these questions in Section 3. It's related with membership criteria, roles, functions, and duties. Remember that this is a charter, and it could be good to define it here because it will be we will make the life easier for those who come in the future the more information you have in the charter, the better things work out in the future, because then it seems that you will never get to the point that you have a conflict of who participates, who doesn't, but the time comes. And then if it's written in the charter, then experience says that it's much easier for working in a working team. Any comments about this?
Hi, Olga. This is Debbie. So I agree, and I thought that the most work that we should, well, I guess where we should focus, I thought a lot of our efforts was in Section 3, and some of the things that I had jotted down over the week were on Section 3, specifically around membership criteria and the formation, about the roles and functions and duties. I'll chat about that in a second, but I agree. I think specificity would really help this. If I was going to eventually be one of the people who would join this group, I would want to know specifically what we were charged to do and how we were charged to be comprised. And I agree. I think giving some specificity around that is helpful. What I'm nervous about, however, is to the extent we don't get sufficient diversity or whatever, but we have great people who are committed to finding, you know, and doing outreach throughout all of the, you know, ICANN regions, but however, you know, the membership doesn't, you know, necessarily coincide with that. So then do we turn away, you know, or do we, you know, how do we make sure we ensure we've got sufficient diversity, I guess is where I'm coming from. So, like, for one of the things I was thinking about is we've got language from our original document that says the OTF shall include 4 members from each continent. Maybe, you know, we could consider some language of that to the best extent possible. The goal would be that members include, you know, that the OTF include members from each continent or from each, or 4 members from each of the ICANN regions or something like that, so that we don't put ourselves in a situation where we've got great volunteers and a great group that's ready to go, but, you know, violating the charter because we don't have sufficient diversity. And that's just one point there, but I guess my overarching comments are, I think specificity is great. I think what we can do is try to be specific and then provide alternative ways for this group to launch. Does that make sense?
It makes totally sense, and I totally agree with you. The specificity is useful because sometimes it's the way you define a conflict, but sometimes if it's what it says, when the charter says something and you need some flexibility, then comes people that say, hey, no, this is in the charter, and you have to respect it, just sometimes for the sake of being stick to the text or just for bothering. You know what I'm talking about, Debbie. We have suffered about that.
Yeah.
So you're totally right. So we have to be clever about finding a good charter with specifications that are helpful, but at the same time, given the way to have flexibility in the same document. So I agree with you.
And what I was thinking, Olga, this is Debbie again, I'm sorry, is that it could be some language, something like, you know, the steering committee shall use its best efforts to ensure that the OTF includes at least 4 members from each ICANN region or something like that.
Okay. Debbie, now that you're being so kind to suggest this, would you include these comments in the draft
I apologize. I worked on this last night, and I said rather than trying to send it and confuse everybody about which document, right after this call, I will distribute some of my initial thoughts, you know, from my first read. And, of course, it was, you know, before we talked today. But I'll certainly send that around to the group.
Thank you very much, Debbie.
Sure.
Any other comments about this? Membership and Section 3.
Olga, can I ask one quick question too of you and Julie? And this is something that I can't recall how we came out on this. So if you remember, you know, the whole, I thought that the idea here was, we're providing, the goal here is outreach within the GNSO, right? And not wanting to duplicate efforts that other stakeholder groups are working on, and to coordinate those efforts within the GNSO so that the entire GNSO community is working together, or at least coordinating to some degree on how we're reaching new you know, members of the community. I guess my question is, where do we ever come out on the steering committee and the types of people who could, that we would want to be included in, not just the steering committee, but the OTF? Like, where do we come out on our recommendations for, like, members of ICANN staff and board and that sort of stuff? I know in the section of the roles, functions, and duties, there were roles that we had wanted ICANN staff to do to kind of support, and perhaps, you know, working with, you know, the liaison from ICANN on outreach-related activities. But what about others that are outside of the GNSO? Have we even talked about that, or is that just too troublesome, do you think?
I remember when in our drafting team, in our working team, I remember Chuck bringing this question, and it's a very good question, because really the purpose of this document and this task force is for the GNSO,
right?
Which needs really to outreach more into other regions, and you know that, and especially some constituencies have difficulties in finding representatives from, I don't know, Latin America, Asia, just
right.
Because the market is not so developed. It's not that people is not interested. People is not just no, and it's not related with the industry. And it's, of course, there is no presence of the constituency there. Not because people is bad, but just it's a lack of knowledge and outreach. So this is, I think, the main purpose is for the GNSO. But it's a good question.
Because I was thinking, I mean, even if we don't say that, hey, we'd like to have at least one person from the board sit on, if not the steering committee, but just be a listener or, you know, be involved at least in what's happening, then I know that in ICANN, I think there's regional representatives, right, on ICANN staff that support efforts in different regions, and I've never really interfaced with them, so I wasn't sure. Maybe Julie, you can help me here, like the regional representatives, like, for, you know, for Latin America, for Africa, for North America. I feel like that would be a nice way to kind of supplement the activities that this group is doing, you know, in more resources. Is something like that even feasible, or would it just be better to say that, you know, we're not going to try to be that broad in trying to really bring groups together?
This is Julie. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'll have to. I don't have the recommendation document in front of me. We did have some language in there about some, you know, having a staff liaison, and I did pull in someone from the ICANN staff. I didn't put in, I can't remember exactly what our recommendation was with respect to the Global Partnerships Program, which is, I think, what you're
Hello,
thinking
I'm
about.
Back.
Yeah, Mandy Carver and those guys. Like, I couldn't remember who.
Yeah, so exactly. That would be Mandy. Exactly. That's her group. So that would be, you know, we could put in some language about that. Hello?
Sorry, girls, I just drop off and I'm back in the line. So could you please tell me what you were talking about?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. Deborah was mentioning the regional representatives.
Yes.
There's the Global Partnership Program. Mandy Carver is the staff person who handles that. I hadn't put specific language in to have a liaison with that group, but we certainly can. And Debbie also mentioned perhaps having a liaison, a board member, be part of the group. And I don't think we had a specific recommendation to that effect in the recommendations document, but that doesn't mean we couldn't put it in here. And so I could add those in, you know, as suggested changes.
Yeah, what I was thinking was, I can't recall if there was a board. I think I remember there's some sort of board committee that deals with, I don't know if it's outreach. Maybe it's
participation.
Public participation. I'm confusing. I'm sorry.
Participation.
I'm confusing. So I was thinking, you know, like, I know there's, you know, global managers for each one of the regions, Olga. And so I wasn't sure if it makes sense either to reach out to that, you know, the person who, I guess, coordinates each one of those folks and says, could you at least send one person, or could that division, you know, could Global Partnership send somebody? And because I really think that's really important. I mean, we're doing outreach for to benefit the GNSO, and it would be great to be able to coordinate efforts that are being done or being contemplated in each one of the regions, so that when we're not, the outcomes of this group aren't being duplicative.
I agree. The spirit of this idea of this broader group of people came from the MAG members of the Internet Governance Forum, that we are like 50 people from all over the world, and we are not specifically tied up to the IGF. We are not part of the secretariat. Maybe you're familiar with the Internet Governance Forum. This will be the sixth time that it happens in Kenya. It started in 2006 in Athens after the World Summit of Information Society. And we prepare the another meeting. We are not in charge of organizing the meeting, but we do the agenda of the meeting, the program, and we suggest speakers and we suggest the program. We are like 50 people from all over the world, and we are totally volunteer, and we don't have special relationship with the secretariat, just by working together in this preparation of the program and all the meeting. And from this experience, that I think it has been very successful, because the group is totally multi-stakeholder. We have people from government, civil society, companies, academia, and technical areas. And this is where we took the idea. But GNSO is somehow different. As you have noticed during the GNSO conference calls and discussions in the list, having working groups that are combined in between different supporting organizations or advisor committees, it is not perhaps the best way to do things. And I think I find some difficulties in the whole GNSO receiving it as a very good idea. So we have to be creative and build a broader group, which is good for outreach, but it's also accepted by the GNSO. You know what I mean?
Yes, Olga, I absolutely. That's why I was trying to, you said it much better than me, and I guess where I was trying to go is I didn't want to create a situation where we're stepping into that quagmire, but at the same time recognizing that I think we need to figure out a way, if it makes sense to this group, to participation from stakeholders within the GNSO, I think, is really important, of course, and should be driving it. I just thought that to the extent that that group would benefit from those who are already out doing all sorts of activities in each of the regions, that it certainly makes sense to at least get their input and involvement, if that made sense for ICANN. And I didn't want to create a cross-working group, whatever, but I was just trying to think of a way to at least add that element without, as you mentioned, derailing this whole effort.
Perhaps we could build a list. We could try to, each of us that knows some outreach effort that is done, say, for example, Carlos, you're familiar with ALAC. We know GNSO. Perhaps Julie or Debbie can help me with the board. I know there is a part of a committee in the board devoted to participation, or Roy, you may have any idea, and we could build a list, that maybe as a draft list, and then we can think of including it or not in the document.
I mean, this is Debbie again. The other thing to do is to maybe have, a list like, the steering committee should seek representation from, or may, as opposed to making a requirement. Are you following what I'm saying? So, it should seek representatives from ALEC, or it should consider seeking representatives from whatever, I don't know, rather than making it a requirement that the membership, should be blah, 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 blah.
Okay. Great. So this is point one. Point two says recruiting members for the OTF, role diverse membership. I think we already covered it. We talk about a call for volunteers. I would like you also to check that language and if you think it's okay. And one important thing is, how many people is in the steering committee and how many people is in the OTF should be, and again, I think that Debbie made a relevant comment, should be, should we establish some number, and at the same time, we should be flexible to allow some not exact number stated in the charter that becomes a burden to comply with, but instead of that, having some flexibility. So, in general, I think this, those were the most important questions that came to our minds to Julie and I when we revised the document. Any other comments you would like to add about the document apart from this membership and number of members and selection criteria and all that?
Hi, this is Debbie. Julie, I have a question. And so the sections 4 and, sections 4, that's pretty boilerplate. That, I've seen that language in a lot of charts. That's just the standard stuff, right?
Section which
the one? Rules of, the rules of engagement.
Yes. Actually, what this is based on is, this is Julie, there now is a template that we have to use for charters.
Yes.
This came out of the recommendations of the working group, the committee that was doing working group guidelines. It was from the Policy Process Steering Committee and the Working Group Guidelines Work Team. So they created the guidelines for what should be in a charter so that they could be sure that that there would be, that no charter would not include, some very key elements. And so that's why the Section 4 Rules of Engagement is directly out of the charter template. Also, you'll note that for roles of the chair and vice chair, there's a reference to the working group guidelines. Just to answer your question, what is not specific to the recommendations is boilerplate information that comes from the working group guidelines.
Okay, thank you.
It's important that you also read this section because it's about when decisions are made in the group, and so consensus. Again, this may be a trivial thing, but when the time comes, it becomes real important. And when you have to make some decisions and there are people that think one thing and others differently, and then you have to move forward, and this could be problematic. So I like the way it's written, but maybe some of you have any other, as Julie said, this is suggested by the working team that drafted this guidelines for working groups. But we can review it and we can suggest our own.
This is Julie. I should point out that these really aren't just recommendations. The working group guidelines, they really struggled with a lot of this language, and then it was approved by the council. So I don't know, for some of this information, I don't know how much leeway we have to make changes.
Okay. So we should stick to this?
Sorry, Olga. Carlos?
Yes, Carlos. Go ahead.
Yes, I want to make a question to you. What was your idea in relation with the number of participants of a steering committee? Because in my opinion, I think OTF is a kind of steering committee. Do you understand?
The idea... Are you done?
In my point of view, OTF is a kind of steering committee. So the question is, what is your idea about the number of participants in the OTF, or if you have some other idea?
The idea of of this, and you, Debbie, please correct me if I'm wrong, was to have a broader group of several people, like, I don't know, 30, 50, 40, I don't know. And then, as it's like too many people, have a smaller steering committee that could coordinate all the actions. That I think perhaps 5 people, 3, 10, 8, I don't know. That's the idea. So those are participants of the broader group to make a more dynamic group of decision making. That's we can talk about that as well. Debbie, I'm missing something here. Did we talk about something different?
Yeah, I think our idea was that we wanted the actual OTF, the actual task force, to be a broader group, to allow a lot of voices to come up with ideas and suggestions, and that at some point, you know, when you've got a group that large, there may be a need to have a smaller subset that's able to kind of move forward when convening the entire group is just not feasible or practical.
Is that okay, Carlos?
Yes, thank you, Olga. Very clear. Thank you.
Of course, you can make your suggestions as well about this.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
Okay, people, any other general comments? Let me suggest the following. Please have a look at the document. We are not so many. We can send comments to the list, or we can just type the comments in the document and send it to me and Julie, and perhaps Julie and I could put them all together in one version. We are not 20, so we are few, and that's not so difficult. And we in our next conference call, perhaps we can see a more complete and revised version of our document. The problem I have is that next Friday I'm flying to the regional IGF. I will be in Trinidad. At that day, we'll be in a plane, exactly, coming back home. Or we can skip 1 week, or you can have the meeting without me. What do you prefer?
I'm sorry, Olga, did you say the 19th is the day that you're going to be traveling?
No. The next Friday, I will be returning to Buenos Aires from Trinidad Tobago.
Oh, the 12th, okay.
The 12th, yes.
So, Olga, this is Julie. I would just a couple of things. If you like, what I can do is take some additional details to put into the charter based on this conversation. I know Carlos has suggested in the Adobe chat room perhaps bringing in some more specifics from the recommendations, and I think we can, concerning some of the things we've discussed here, particularly liaisons to the board and to other groups. And also, Debbie, if you have some specific edits to the charter that you would like to send to me, I can combine your edits with those that I make and send out early next week, perhaps, another version for people to look at. And then perhaps what we could do is give people more time to really read through the document and then schedule our next call for the 19th of August.
That's okay for me. Are we okay with the time? I'm not going too far away in the future?
Hi, this is Debbie. I guess it's perfect for me. And what I'll do, Julie, is I'll send you the draft that I was working on, and then you can add that stuff into whatever you send to the group so that we're not sending around a bunch of drafts and it gets confusing. Does that make sense?
Yes, that would be extremely helpful, Debbie. This is Julie.
I'll send it to you within the hour. I'm sitting here typing new stuff that came from this call that I'm thinking about, and that way you'll have that document. And then, you know, to the extent, Olga, if you think it's important for us to meet, I'm happy to help chair their call if that's another thing. But sounds like people.
No, if we can do it on the 19th, that's okay. My only worry is that because we're meeting kind of biweekly, and perhaps it will take more time. I think that if we add some comments and some more details to the document, we would be quite fine with it. at least as a draft charter. So perhaps we can finish it in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
so that's okay.
Right, because the concern I'm having is if we're trying to make the GNSL Council meeting in September, you know, I can't remember what the deadline would be to submit that. That's like the last week of August. Is that right, Julie? Am I counting right?
It will.
That would be, yes. It's the 31st, I think. But, you know, keep in mind that...
Yes,
the 31st. But keep in mind that, you know, it's. I think we really do want to make sure that we get this right among ourselves. So let's see how it goes. But if we could be finalized mostly by the 19th, then we would still be in plenty of time to get it submitted to be considered by the council on the agenda for the 8th of September.
This is Roy. We also have the, you know, if we're not completely happy on the 19th, we also have the 26th that we could get together again.
Okay. Just comment. Okay. Any other comments?
Okay.
So people, we have a plan. Julie, go ahead.
Oh yes. So I was just going to suggest that, yes, I will take the action to collect the notes from the call and collect what Debbie sends me, and perhaps by Monday I will send out a revised charter and some notes from this call for all of us to consider for the next call on the 19th.
Fantastic. That would be great. And Julie, I really want to thank you that your help is, as usual, fantastic. But I want to stress that in front of all the other members of this working team.
Thank you very much,
Olga. You're welcome. Any other comments? People, have a great weekend. And
thanks.
We talk again in 2 weeks, and we keep in touch through the email list.
Wonderful.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.